Alhamdulillah, then we continue the explanation of verse 34. قال الله تعالى أفلا يشكرون. Will they not then give thanks? This exclamation is intended for scolding, meaning, were they heedless about all of this, and thus they did not even think about giving thanks, or did they disdain all of that, and thus they don't give thanks? Because the lack of thanks or absence of thanks is either due to heedlessness or intentional disdainfulness, denial. Many people, when it comes to the favors of Allah, are either heedless and they think that this is a usual matter like any other usual matter, Allah having no favor therein, and this may occur from the believer who may have not tasted the opposite of these favors, because man does not properly estimate the favor of Allah until or unless he suffers the opposite. Man does not estimate health except from the opposite, unless he is ill. And this is heedlessness. Or it could be due to denial. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 83, يَعْرِفُونَ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يُنْكِرُونَهَا وَأَكْثَرُهُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. They recognize the grace of Allah, yet they deny it. And most of them are disbelievers. They come to say, what we have got is because of our knowledge and the like. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is reminding and scolding at them. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ. Will they not give thanks? الشكر, gratitude, means obedience to the one who bestow the favors and to dispose the favors in ways that Allah had intended. This is the meaning of shukr. And we should remember this definition. This is the definition of shukr, of gratitude. Obedience to the one who bestows the favors. I mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to dispose the favors in ways that Allah had intended. So the one who disposes the favors of Allah in ways not intended by Allah, then in this case he is not giving thanks. So if he takes these favors as means for disobedience, then he is not thankful. Because he disposed them in ways not intended to. Allah bestowed these favors so that we establish worshipping Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ash-shukr, gratitude, is connected to three things. القلب واللسان والجوارح. The heart, the tongue, and the body parts. The gratitude of the heart. It is that man confesses and attests in his heart that Allah is the one who bestowed this grace upon him. Whether it is an initiated bounty, or a word of harm, both are from Allah Azza wa Jal. So he shouldn't think that this is his smartness. Rather, he should relate it to the one who bestowed this upon him, Allah, the Most High. This is the shukr of al-qalb, the gratitude of the heart. As to the ash-shukr bil-lisan, shukr al-lisan, the gratitude of the heart or the tongue. This means that the person mentions the favors of Allah upon him, praising him for that. قال الله تعالى فأما بنعمة ربك فحدث فأما بنعمة ربك فحدث and make mention of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Proclaim that. This is in Surah Al-Duha, chapter 93, verse 11. The proclaiming of the grace, proclaiming of Allah's grace on the tongue, should not be out of arrogance. Otherwise, it becomes disdainfulness, not gratitude. This gratitude of the tongue should be not out of haughtiness and pride. Okay. The proclaiming of Allah's grace on the tongue should not be out of arrogance, haughtiness otherwise it becomes disdainfulness, not gratitude. And as to the third type or the third relation is that of the shukrul jawarih, gratitude of body parts, to carry on the obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. Proclaim the ni'mah, make it apparent. If he is rich, this becomes apparent in his mount, in his dress, in his outward appearance, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves when he bestows grace upon someone loves for that to be manifested. Now, if someone says, is there a difference between Alhamd and Ash-Shukr, praise and gratitude, or are they in agreement? The answer is, there is difference between them. First, Alhamd's connection is with the tongue only. The praise connection is with the tongue, because it means describing the praised one with perfection out of love and magnification. This does not transcend to the body parts. Second, Alhamd is due to the benevolence of the one praised, and also due to his perfection. However, Ash-Shukr is due to benevolence only. So, therefore, it's applicable to the graces only. However, Alhamd yakunu ala al-ni'am. Alhamd covers the graces, and also due to the perfect attributes of the one who bestows them, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal. So, there is, in the relationship between Alhamd and Ash-Shukr, there is generality and there is particularization. From one angle there is generality, and then from another angle there is particularization. So Alhamdu, praise, is more comprehensive in relation to the cause, and more particular in that which it is connected to or related to. While Ash-Shukr is more particular when it comes to the cause, and more comprehensive in its relations and connections. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praised for His favors and for His perfection. This is the cause for praising, and that it comes only on the tongue. While Ash-Shukr is due to favors only, and therefore you don't say أشكر الله على كمال صفاته. I thank Allah for His perfect attributes. You don't say that, but rather you say for His favors. You thank Him for His favors. So the cause of shukr, of gratitude, is more particular. However, it is connected to the heart, the tongue, and the body parts. So in this sense, it is more comprehensive. This is a very beneficial point concerning the difference between Ash-Shukr, gratitude, and Alhamd, praise. So try to make note of it, inshallah. The benefits of this verse. In these verses, there are many benefits. First one, making clear the ability of Allah Azza wa Jal to give life to the dead land. And second, taking what is witnessed as evidence for the unwitnessed. In this regard, giving life to the dead land is witnessed, and it is taken as a proof. For giving life to the dead after resurrection, on the day of resurrection, or when on the day of resurrection rather. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed to this evidence in His saying in Surah Fussilat 41:39, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنَّكَ تَرَى الْأَرْضَ خَاشِعَةً فَإِذَا أَنْزَلْنَا عَلَيْهَا الْمَاءَ اهْتَزَّتْ وَرَبَتْ إِنَّ الَّذِي أَحْيَاهَا لَمُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى إِنَّ الَّذِي أَحْيَاهَا لَمُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى إِنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And among His signs in this, that you see the earth barren, but when we send down water to it, it is stirred to life and growth of vegetation. Verily He who gives it life, surely He is able to give life to the dead. Indeed He is able to do all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also Allah the Most High said in Surah Qaf 50:9-11, وَنَزَّلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً مُبَارَكًا فَأَنْبَتْنَا بِهِ جَنَّاتٍ وَحَبَّ الْحَصِيدِ وَالنَّخْلَ بَاسِقَاتٍ لَهَا طَلْعٌ نَضِيدٌ رِزْقًا لِلْعِبَادِ وَأَحْيَيْنَا بِهِ بَلْدَةً مَيْتًا كَذَلِكَ الْخُرُوجِ. And we send down blessed water from the sky. Then we produce therewith gardens and grain, every kind of harvests that are reaped. And tall date palms with ranged clusters, a provision for Allah's slaves. And we give the life therewith to a dead land. And we give life therewith to a dead land. Thus will be the resurrection of the dead. Thus will be the resurrection of the dead. And the verses and evidences in this respect are replete from the benefits of this verse. Permissibility to describe the inanimate with death and life. So this is not particular to the to creatures with souls, with active souls, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said al-ardu al-maytatu, the dead land. So He described it as dead. أَحْيَيْنَاهَا, we gave it life. So He described it with life. This also brings another benefit, making clear the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He said أَحْيَيْنَاهَا, we gave it life. And then He said وَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا, and we brought forth, using the we, referring to Himself. And this is out of magnification and from the benefits, making clear the ni'mah, the grace and bounty of Allah Azza wa Jal in bringing the vegetations, the crops, the fruits for man to use. And from the benefits, making clear the need of man to his Rabb Azza wa Jal, to Allah. Because Allah said, فَمِنْهُ يَأْكُلُونَ, they eat therefrom. or thereof, so they eat thereof. And in this, فَمِنْهُ, from it or thereof they eat, or they eat thereof, this particularization, in this particularization there is evidence that man is challenged here, that it is impossible for him to eat except from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings forth. It is as if you are able, then bring for yourself that which you can eat from. However, you're not going to be able to do so except from that which we bring forth. So there is a challenge there. There is an embedded challenging in this. From the benefits is making clear to man the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in having these great and abundant trees with shades, the date palms, the grapes. And in this there is an indication for the favor, or the merits rather, of these, of the date palms and of the grapes, these fruits, because they are eaten with ease, fresh and dry. And from the benefits is making clear the ability of Allah Azza wa Jal to produce all sorts of springs. This barren land brings forth this fresh fluid, the water. From rocks, from in between rocks and hard rocky places. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Baqarah 274, وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءُ. And indeed there are stones out of which rivers gush forth, and indeed there are of them stones which split asunder so that water flows from them, and indeed there are of them stones which fall down for fear of Allah. This is from the perfect ability of Allah Azza wa Jal. Musa alayhi salam used to strike the stone either a stone which he carried or any stone, and there comes gushing from it 12 springs covering the tribes, the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And this is from the perfect ability of Allah Azza wa Jal. Also there is evidence, there is a benefit here. This benefit is the need of date palm trees and grapes for water, and that its fruit is dependent upon that, and its the abundance of it is dependent upon the water. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَفَجَّرْنَا فِيهَا مِنَ الْعُيُونِ لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ. And we made springs gush forth so that they eat from its fruits. So this indicates that water has an effect in bringing forth abundant fruits. as well affecting its welfare. And this is something witnessed. In this also there is benefit. Refuting Al-Jabriya sect, Al-Jabriya, this is a deviant sect. Those who claim that man is compelled, how this is refuted? It is refuted by affirming the cause and wisdom. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِيَأْكُلُوا مِنْ ثَمَرِهِ, so that they can eat thereof from its fruits. And the textual proofs affirming the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal are replete, like in Surah Al-Qamar 54 verse 5, حكمة بالغة فما تغني النذر, حكمة بالغة فما تغني النذر. Perfect wisdom, but the preaching of warners benefit them not. And from that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly stated through negation when he mentioned in Surah Sad 38:27, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا ذَلِكَ ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنَ النَّارِ. And we created not the heaven and the earth and all that is between them without purpose. That is the consideration of those who disbelieve. Then woe to those who disbelieve from the fire. And also through his, what he said subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which he said also by way of negation in Surah Al-Dukhan verse 38 44 38, قال الله تعالى وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. And we created not the heavens and the earth and all that's between them for mere play. There is nothing more affirming of an attribute than its direct affirmation and negating the opposite. Negating the opposite indicates the perfection of the attribute. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, negating, and we created not the heavens and the earth and all that's in between them for mere play. So this negation affirms the perfection, that Allah created them for a perfect purpose. And from the benefits affirming the grace of Allah upon His slaves by having these fruits that we eat, what would you think if these fruits became if they became bitter, would they be beneficial? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning the water in Surah Al-Waqi'ah 56 68 70. Okay, alhamdulillah, now back. What was the last point that you heard? Naam. Negating the opposite indicates the perfection of the attribute. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated that he did not create the heavens and the earth for no purpose. So therefore there is a purpose, and a perfect one. And from the benefits of this verse, making clear the grace and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his slaves by having these fruits available for them to eat. What would you think if these fruits were bitter? Would they be beneficial? And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal reminded us concerning the water we drink, as in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, chapter 56, 68 and 70. قال الله تعالى أفرأيتم الماء الذي تشربون. Tell me, the water that you drink, أأنتم أنزلتموه من المزن أم نحن المنزلون. Is it you who caused it from the rain clouds to come down, or are we the causers of it to come down? Certainly you, Allah, is the one who caused it to come down. لو نشاء جعلناه أجاجا. If we willed, we verily could made it salt and undrinkable. Why then do you not give thanks to Allah? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, he could have made this fruit useless. And from the benefits of this verse is that we don't possess the ability to bring these fruits to existence. Rather, this is a mere bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If all mankind will come together to produce one single grain or one single date, they wouldn't be able to do so. Yet we see that Allah the Most High creates all these fruits that you cannot enumerate. We didn't do that by our hands. The only thing we do is that we direct these fruits in the way that Allah taught us to do so. So we take the male pollen from the male date palm and we put it in the cluster of the female date palm. As to creating it, bringing it into existence, no. And from the benefits is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear as to His grace upon us in making use of these dates, or these fruits rather. And from the benefits of this verse is the obligation to give thanks to Allah, because Allah the Most High scolded at those who don't give thanks and gratitude, in addition of being an obedience rewarded by Allah. It is also a cause for more, of attaining more of Allah's graces. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, verse 7, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد. And remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you give thanks by accepting faith and worshipping none but Allah, I will give you more of my blessings. But if you are thankless, meaning disbelievers, then verily my punishment is indeed severe. If someone says, we see many people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon them from His graces, yet they are thankless, disdainful. So how can then we understand this verse? And remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you give thanks by accepting faith, I will give you more. But if you are thankless, then my punishment is indeed severe. Many are those who received a lot, many, many graces, many bounties, yet they are thankless and disdainful. So how can we answer this? And this is a matter, the answer of which, as you will come to know inshallah, should be singled out as a refutation of this thinking which exists amongst many people. So inshallah ta'ala we can take this out from the recording and added it to points of clarification on the site. So the answer is as follows. Number one, punishment is not restricted in losing the favor. Rather, it also could be by way of hardness of the heart and its sickness and illness. Although many people think that punishment is by way of losing the favors, while in fact the punishment of the hearts by illnesses or by sickness and harshness and hardness and turning away from Allah and His remembrance, this is the greatest punishment or a greater punishment. In addition, don't you think that those who are enjoying their bodies, don't you think that they are really enjoying or have enjoyment in their hearts? Never. In fact, in their hearts there is restrictedness and unease, impatience regarding the pre-decrees of Allah, which renders them to be in fire rather than coolness and tranquility. And you cannot find a good life better than the life of the believer, even though he may be the poorest of mankind. This is testified to in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nahl, من عمل صالحا, in Surah An-Nahl chapter 16 verse 97, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. Whoever works righteousness, whether male or female, while he or she is a true believer, verily to him we will give a good life in this world with contentment and lawful provision, and we shall pay them certainly a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do in paradise in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from them. So those who are punished in their hearts, their punishment is far greater than the loss of favors in wealth or fruits and so forth. Secondly, these favors are hastened to them, so they are given the rewards of their good deeds as a way of in this world only, as a way of punishment and as a plot. And that's why in the hadith, when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he was leaning on a leather pillow stuffed with palm fibers and which left a mark on the Prophet's body, Umar cried. In fact, we read in the hadith, he said, I sat down and cast a glance at the room, and by Allah I could see anything of importance but three hides. I said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, invoke Allah to make your followers prosperous, for the Persians and the Byzantines have been made prosperous and given worldly luxuries, though they don't worship Allah. ادعوا الله فليوسع على أمتك فإن فارس والروم وسع عليهم وأعطوا الدنيا وهم لا يعبدون الله. وكان متكئا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was leaning then, and on hearing my speech, he صلى الله عليه وسلم sat straight and said, يا ابن الخطاب, أو ابن الخطاب meaning عمر, أولئك قوم عجلت لهم طيباتهم في الحياة الدنيا. He said, ابن الخطاب, do you have any doubt that the hereafter is better than this world? These people are given the rewards. These people are given the rewards of their good deeds in this world only. So they were given this prosperities and this luxurious life. It's a punishment. And if this is also, if they die and they suffer the punishment, this becomes even more intense upon them. Why? Because they departed this life while so attached to it, enjoying all this, and then there goes the punishment upon them. And it becomes so intense in this sense because they had lost, quote unquote, all this luxury and prosperity. And therefore, they will be in intense grief. Here is a story which is related from Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, or it is mentioned that Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, and he was the chief justice in Egypt at one time. He passed by a Jew selling oil, and he was tired of this job. His clothes dirty and smells, and when he passed by him and he saw that Al-Hafidh bin Hajar on his mount, the Chief Justice with a carriage, on a carriage rather, driven by horses and people on his right and his left. So the Jew stopped the caravan and said, Ya Qadi al-Qudha, O Chief of Justice, كيف تكون أنت في هذه الحال? How come you are in this status while I am in this, referring to himself as an oil merchant, while your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says الدنيا سجن المؤمن وجنة الكافر, that this life is the prison for the believer and paradise for the kafir, for the disbeliever. So how come? فقال ابن حجر رحمه الله, ابن حجر رحمه الله responded, ما أنا فيه من النعيم في الدنيا, this prosperity that I enjoy in this life is a prison بالنسبة لنعيم المؤمن في الآخرة, when it is compared to the enjoyment and the bliss awaiting the believer in the hereafter. وما أنت فيه من التعب, and as regard to that which you suffer from toil and trial, هو بالنسبة لعذاب الآخرة جنة, when it is compared to the punishment in the hereafter, it is considered as a paradise. So now you are in your paradise because لأنك سوف تنتقل, certainly you're going to move to a punishment unimaginable. When Al-Hafid mentioned this to him, قال اليهودي, the Jew said, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is his messenger. And so he accepted Islam. So therefore those who are in such enjoyment, in reality it is misery and punishment, although their bodies may be physically enjoying this kind of enjoyment. Many people are heedless about regarding this matter, and it is regrettable that this disease infiltrated the Muslims. Most Muslims nowadays look only to achieve this kind of enjoyment, meaning the enjoyment of this life only, while being heedless regarding the hereafter. And that's why you find them always speaking about play and enjoyment and the like, as if they were only created for this. And this is from the greatest things which turn the people away from their deen, having their hearts attached to this life, seeking only its enjoyment. And we don't deny that the person takes from this life that which is beneficial for him in the hereafter. In fact, this life is only a means, a path, a passage to the hereafter. If it is taken in this perspective, then it is in reality part of the hereafter. However, what we deny is that it becomes the greatest concern for man, as if he is created only for this. This is due to the weakness of his deen and also of his lack or weakness of his deen, and also due to incompleteness of his intellect or reasoning. So how is it that you make of yourself and your life, the precious one, so importantly attached to something which is not guaranteed and not eternal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning the people of Hud on the tongue of their messenger Hud in Surah Al-Shu'ara chapter 26 verse 129, وَتَتَّخِذُونَ مَصَانِعَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَخْلُدُونَ 26, 129 rather. And do you get for yourselves palaces, fine buildings, as if you will live therein forever? فَأَنْتَ لَسْتَ بِخَالِدٍ, you're not eternal, you're not living forever. So why then you take this passage to be your most concern or your greatest concern, yet you don't know when you are going to depart? None of those who are enjoying this life while being thankless, they don't know, like all of us, when they will die. But he knows that he will stay forever and hereafter if he believes in that. Yet despite all of that, he works for this life which he was not created for, and leaves and abandons the hereafter for which he had been created. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.